Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Please, attention, place your phones on airplane mode for the duration of this show, because Derek Jones Jr. threw down another incredible dunk last night.
Come on, DJ. I'm sure he has a family at home. He has kids that are probably watching that game, man.
This is
his first full season with the Memphis Grizzlies, and you're going to disrespect him like that?
We don't shame
people.
We don't shame people who play defense on this show.
You might not. Tracy, on the other hand, he, of course, had that memorable dunk last year that was kind of almost the same thing, just hanging in the air. He's already doing this on night one of the Heat season. We'll see what happens the rest of the way. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, alongside with the host of the True Hoop podcast, Mr. Brian Windhorst, and, of course, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tracy McGrady.
Hey, guys.
Thank you very much, sir. Coming up, the Sixers won their season opener against the Celtics last night, but will their shooting struggles keep them from breaking through the season? We will discuss that shortly. First, though, Kyrie Irving doesn't have to win. This is not something you will necessarily hear Kyrie talk about or the Nets talk about, because Kyrie does want to win, and so very much so does Brooklyn. But in the end, the absolute truth is that Kyrie already has a ring earned on his Game 7 swish of a shot, that he was already partnered with one of the greatest players ever and left voluntarily before his team even got to its fourth straight finals, that he spent the last 2 years playing on another team that was also loaded with talent, a team where, as his own Nike commercial noted, if he had won there, his name would have danced in the rafters with some of the sport's ultimate legends. And Kyrie left there, too. You know, Vince Lombardi once said, "Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing." But that's not actually true for everybody at every stage of their career. And it's extremely clear in watching Kyrie that he has been searching for something more complex. Has he found it in Brooklyn? I mean, look, it's way too early to tell. But here's what I do know, that watching him look for it against Minnesota last night was a hell of a lot of fun, and even a little emotional, too. Here was Kyrie on the court pregame. He took the mic for one of those customary star addressing fans at the home opener speech. Take a listen.
On behalf of us. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's just hitting me right now. I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to you guys supporting us all season. Let's go Nets.
It was a nice moment that Kyrie followed by coming out of the gate firing, scoring 12 of the Nets' first 19 points. I mean, hey, kids, after all, a 40% James Harden-like usage rate isn't just going to compute itself. This early basket sent three Timberwolves down like bowling pins along the baseline. I loved this. And look, the little give-and-go here with Caris LeVert turns into an impossible spinning and one. Now, by halftime, the crowd was going nuts every time he touched the ball. A little less exciting for Nets fans was the scoreboard. Brooklyn fell behind by as many as 18 in the first half, thanks largely to Karl Anthony Towns, who was lethal from distance all night. But none of this stopped Kyrie from shooting. By the time he hit this three with just a minute left, it certainly seemed like it would be his night. Now, unfortunately for him, Andrew Wiggins had other plans. And yeah, you heard me correctly. It was Wiggins who kept rolling to the basket during overtime, kept scoring, left Kyrie with just one last hero opportunity, and he went for it.
6 seconds left in overtime. The Nets down by one. Irving lost his footing, regathers, fires off the mark at the horn, and the Timberwolves win it.
I mean, that whole sequence is insane. Look at this. And you can count on one hand the number of guys in today's NBA who could even get the ball near the basket after slipping like that. Honestly, I feel Kyrie, who was in and out of a mask this preseason because, you know, he keeps fracturing bones in his face, should just play with the mask full time. He's clearly a ninja and just needs to admit it. Of course, the ball did not actually go in on that shot. The Nets did not actually win the game. And yet, that's important because Brooklyn is eager to get off to a strong start. But let's not kid ourselves. That's not the most important thing. With Kevin Durant out this season, the Nets are not in a title chase. Their goals center much more around integrating Kyrie and continuing to build team culture. Now, we'll have to see how the latter goes and if Brooklyn's younger stars will stay motivated if Kyrie is gobbling up so much of the offense. But boy, Kyrie sure looked comfortable last night. He even shared postgame that it was the 1-year anniversary of his grandfather's death. an event he said was a big part of his decision to switch to a team closer to his family in New Jersey and just approach life in a different way. I'm hoping that means we'll see even more of Kyrie being free and happy and fun and just all the things that make him such a legit joy to watch when he feels unburdened enough to let us. Certainly last night, even without the win, that was more than enough. Tracy, was it good enough for you? Was it a good sign or a bad sign last night for the Nets and Kyrie?
No, this was a great sign. And it reminded me of myself. I don't know. Not talking about the 50 points.
When you or I say that, it sounds funny. When Tracy says it's the ultimate compliment.
I'm just saying a local kid living out his dream. Right? I grew up in Orlando, outside of Orlando, and I used to drive by that arena often. And one day I was just hoping that I would get the opportunity to play there, right? Because I'm from that area. Same with Kyrie. He's from Jersey, right across the river, and he's playing at home, living out his dream. And I see a sense of he's comfortable, he's free, like you stated. This was a great sign. I just put the fans on notice. This is the type of entertainment that I'm going to bring to this city, to this arena every night. And I know he wanted to win the game, but damn, 50 points in the home opener, because you get the jitters. You don't quite know if you could control your emotions on an opening night like that.
I thoroughly enjoyed this game. I just started watching this instead of the Philly-Boston game. I just kept focusing on it. It was great to see everything that Kyrie did. Also, the Timberwolves were terrific. They withstood punch after punch after punch. Cat was great. They had a lot of contributions from other people. It was a great win for them. I'm not sure this is what the Nets... You say the Nets don't need to win, and I don't disagree with you, but I'm not sure this is the way the Nets want to play every night. I'm not sure that, you know, the way Kyrie dominated the ball, and even Kenny Atkinson kind of made some slight references to this after the game. But I'm not going to worry about this on opening night. This in and of itself was a great basketball game to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't think ideally that's what you want to see the Nets doing every night, but let's wait and see how it develops.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I don't think he's going to have a 40% usage rate every night. I think you will see a lot of him, though, don't you? It's not going to be quite the kumbaya sharing Nets. Everybody's there. Last year.
He's going to have a lot on his shoulders without KD being there. He's going to have a lot on his shoulders to carry the offensive burden.
All right. So I mentioned Carl Anthony Towns also had a big night. I'm sorry. Thank you, Director Kathy, because I could watch that highlight, by the way, of Kyrie. It felt like a bowling pin to me. And this one, the spin, so good. But let's go to Carl Anthony Towns, because he had 36 points on 7-for-11 shooting from three, 14 rebounds, three blocks, three steals. Afterward, he was very emphatic, continuing the message he's been touting for the last month, how the Wolves are going to be a different team this year, and the unity that they feel off the court translating onto the court. So how did that extend to Andrew Wiggins? Let's take a look. Statline, a mixed bag. He scored 21 points, 8 rebounds, but he didn't have any assists, steals, or blocks. He was a team worst minus 26. Now, on the bright side, Wiggins shot 4-for-7 from the field in the fourth quarter in OT. He also hit a couple huge shots, and these were the ones that ultimately made the difference in the game. So, Brian, are you encouraged or discouraged by his season date?
I'm neither encouraged nor discouraged. At this point, Andrew Wiggins sort of is what he is. He's a tremendously talented player who can score, who doesn't seem to get the most out of his incredible athletic gifts, especially defensively. Carl Towns, for all those great shots that he made, he had a block shot at the end of regulation that basically got the game to overtime for the Wolves. Wiggins is a good player. He's going to have a long career in this league. He's going to score a lot of points. He might even set some records for scoring because he came in the league when he was so young. He's just not a difference-making player on most nights. Occasionally he is. And that's, we're 6 years into his career now, Trey.
No, I agree. Looking at Andrew Wiggins, there's no difference from his sixth year to really his third or his second year. Like, he is the same player, and he is so talented offensively. I'm just waiting for that next step, and I haven't seen it. And to me, Andrew Wiggins is a floater. And if you don't know what a floater is, he's a guy that can be on the court for 35, 40 minutes. But 20 of those minutes, you're like, where is he? And he'll have numbers like this. He will put up 21-8. But it's like, where have you been for 20 minutes of this? The 40 minutes you've been there, and that's what I call a floater. He is extremely, extremely talented. It's like he hasn't gotten better to me.
that's Tracy's not so sneaky way, because I think floaters, the worst thing I ever hear you say about players, is the thing you like the least, maybe. Or at least close. I will say, though, Karl Anthony Towns on defense, too, was impressive. So yeah, they are making strides. Maybe some more of it will rub off on Mr. Wiggins. Time for a quick game of BS or Real Talk. It was only one game, but Lakers-Clippers produced a whole lot of fuego takes on NBA Twitter. Also on the internets, our friend Charles Barkley spoke to the Washington Post about the new rivalry in L.A., and he said this to Ben Golliver, quote, "At this stage, Kawhi is a better player than LeBron. He does everything better. He's a better defender, a better scorer. He's better at imposing his will on the game." Guys, is Barkley saying Kawhi is a better player than LeBron right now? BS or Real Talk? We got your signs. Ooh.
I don't even think it's that controversial, to be honest with you. You can make the argument that in a game seven, you may want LeBron, while that Kawhi's.
Oh, no.
You know, Kawhi is maybe not evolved as a vocal leader the way LeBron has, but on every other box.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Listen, LeBron is, to me, is the smartest basketball player in the game today. He is that. That's why he's able to be so great for these years. I mean, he's just smart. As he slows down, he's able to still see the game and have an impact on the game. Offensively, he's just not the same player anymore. I watched him the other night. He doesn't have that step where he could get by a defender anymore. The spins that he uses, offensively, he's slowed down a lot from what I've seen opening night. Now, that may change. I don't know. He's probably just filling some things out. But, yes, Kawhi is a better basketball player.
Yeah, but even taking out the opening night, I mean, if you just watched the two of them last year, even before LeBron got hurt, I mean, you know, Kawhi's in the heart of his prime.
Right.
I don't think it's an insult.
No, it's not. LeBron has held it down for well over a decade as being the best player.
Yes.
Somebody has to take the ring.
It's year 17. Like, yeah. Time is just time. I think it's a consistency issue right now with the two of them, right? On a given night, LeBron can be as good or
absolutely,
maybe even better than Kawhi, maybe even on his best night, mm-hmm, right? And that can still be the case right now. It's just that Kawhi is going to consistently be better in a way that LeBron, yes, just can't anymore. And we see that with every single athlete as they get older. He is turning 35 in December. Coming up, we will talk about Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis combining to score, 57 points in their first official game together in Dallas. Is this duo going to be a problem for the league? I mean, the answer is yes, but the question is how soon, right?
It's a make or miss league.
Thank you, Pat Bev. Make explosiveness. Donovan Mitchell splits the defense. Adjusts in the air, throws it down the two-hander.
How'd he stay up in the air this long? Like, he sort of impressive, elevated, man.
Dame Lillard also.
He brings it out every now and then.
Right, hammers it with one hand. So, Tracy, can you evaluate?
I mean, both was impressive. These are small guys. Both of them.
Yeah.
Should those guys not have tried to defend the shot for fear of being on the
court? Seriously? Enjoy the offense. The guardian of defense. You can rest your mantle for a minute. Missed the mid-range. Nuggets made 18 threes last night, 16 twos. They shot 33 inside the arc compared to 56% from distance.
This is what?
This is analytics.
It's a microcosm of what the league is now.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, but your accuracy should be high on the
two-pointers. This was an incredible win for the Nuggets.
Yes.
Jokic got 3,003 minutes and sat the rest of the first half. They're in Portland, which is crazy on opening night, and they still pull out of there with a win because they made all these threes.
Yeah.
Great win for the Nuggets on opening night.
Should just get easier from here. You make your twos, you'll be all good. Make confidence. Markel Fultz had 12-6 off the bench last night. Tracy, I know you have spent some time with him this fall. What did you think of his Magic debut?
I wasn't surprised. Saw him in practice when I was down there to talk to the team. He looks fresh. He looks rejuvenated. He's confident.
That's the key word to me, confident.
Yeah, he's confident, and as you see, a result of last night, he played well.
I saw some people picking with like, they weren't, you know, it wasn't a lot of jump shots. He's on the court playing.
That's all that matters.
We are going to start.
He helped
there.
Them win last night.
Hopefully has a long career, can develop as he goes. All right, Miss Karma. Tyler Hero giving Grayson Allen a little simple jab step. This should not be an ankle breaker, right? It shouldn't. I'm sorry.
Where are you going, Grayson?
I mean, again, Tyler Hero, fantastic, but not an ankle breaker. So Brian, producer Danny wanted to know if the ghost of college players
come on,
passed.
Let's not do him like that.
No, let's do it. Let's do
come
it.
Come on.
The answer
really?
Is yes. The answer is
that's
yes. That's absolutely happening.
He is a changed man, people.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of changed men out there who have stuff to serve for their crimes. So this was part of the sentence.
There you go.
Who is this kid? Nunn on their team. Where did he come from?
He came from Oakland University.
He's a rookie, huh?
Kendrick Nunn, 24 points in his debut.
We might have to put him rookie in the year category.
Brian was very impressed with him last night. I heard from Brian.
Not so good for Deion Waiters.
Make examples. Bradley Beal and Luka getting a little chippy last night. So they're giving double text here, right? And then watch Beal. He does a little, like, shoo away motion to the ref. That's what he gets ejected for.
Had to be a vet ref.
Yep. Shouts to mid-season form
Ken Maurer.
Mid-season form Ken Maurer.
I'm not surprised.
That text's going to get received.
Get him out of here.
I mean, isn't this part of the, like, opening week? We're establishing how people should treat officials.
Well,
Ken
Maurer did speak to the media after the game and said this was a respect of the game technical foul.
There you go. I agree with you. I think it's going to get taken away. We'll see. Let's stick with Wizards-Mavs game from last night. We got our first look at the Luka-Porzingis duo in the regular season. They combined for 57 in the win, and after the game, KP said, quote, "I'm here to win. I'm not here to chase something individually," which I buy, because in New York, he had a lot of individual success. I mean, I know he wasn't, like, Hall of Fame level.
He's also got a max contract
now. On him.
He's
got his max contract.
Yeah.
Mac, what was your impression of them playing together?
I just like that the fact that you have two guys, you have a creator in Luke who's great basketball IQ that can, you know, affect the game without scoring, but he is a scorer. He can shoot from deep from outside, along with Porzingis. I mean, inside presence, outside presence, great defender, shot blocker. I just like these two together. I want to see more.
This is a big moment for the Mavericks because this was 3 years in the making. This was a tank job or two. This was two big trades.
Mm-hmm.
They've invested their, you know, not only their future, but their last couple of years in making this pairing happen. And it's happening at a time where there is maneuverability in the Western Conference. They could be a playoff team this year. They have these two young guys.
Mm-hmm.
This could be the beginning of something really special in Dallas. Obviously, we're not going to make any conclusions after one game. But you had to like it. And also, Porzingis said, he's like, "I still am not feeling it." He had 23 points last night and said he's still nowhere near close to where he wants to be, which is a good sign to me.
Yeah, the foundation is set with these two guys. Now it's just putting these pieces around them. I think they have a chance to be really good, great, if you put the necessary pieces, and they could be a contender.
And Mark Cuban wants this to go for a long time. He said he makes some mistakes letting Steve Nash go. And if this turns out to be that same kind of pairing with the way Steve and Dirk were, he would like to keep them together for a decade more. So this could be. We could all look back on last night and say this was the beginning. Ben Simmons, let's talk about the Sixers, led the way with 24 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds as they won ugly against the Celtics last night. This felt like an old school Eastern Conference game to me at one point with the score so low and everything. Philly only shot 24% from 3-point range in the win, which, hey, that's up from halftime when they were only shooting 14.3%. So was the takeaway from the game for you just, hey, shooting is the issue?
Well, let's talk about old school, like back when you were covering the league for the Washington Post.
Yes.
The best defensive team I've seen in my 17 years covering the NBA was the Detroit Pistons when they won the 2004 title. Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Chauncey. Teams couldn't crack 70. You don't think they were the
Boston Celtics, man. That 2008 team.
But those teams couldn't crack 70 on those dudes, regardless of that. This 76ers team has a chance.
You're messing up Brian's comparison.
Has a chance.
Don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
He does it to me, so I have to do
That's fine. That's fine. Let's say it is. Either way, I think that they could be in that class with the Celtics and those Pistons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how good they are defensively. But.
Philly?
Yeah. They may be starting the tallest starting lineup in NBA history. Mm-hmm. I haven't done that. But.
Shooting.
In the half court, in a playoff setting, I think they're going to be fine for the regular season, but in the half court, they're a gunner short. They're a gunner
stagnant.
Short.
Like, who are you going to go to? I mean, Joel has to be that guy. Watching him last night, he has to be the go-to guy in a half court setting, playoffs where it slows down. He can't be on the perimeter. He has to do damage inside. And I don't know where they're going to get their shooting from. J.J. Redick's not there. Covington is not there. Who is going to step up and knock down outside shots for these guys other than Tobias Harris?
And it's not going to be Ben Simmons. I mean, I'm not saying that he won't at some point hit a couple of threes.
Yeah, but
if you look at the way he's shooting, he's still landing on one foot. I'm not a specialist like Tracy. I know that you don't land on one. You shouldn't land on one foot, although you.
It hurts you over time.
I just don't think he's going to come to the rescue. He's not all of a sudden going to be that guy.
Well, we saw what happened for the first half of last season, right? It was too clogged up. There wasn't enough spacing. Joel was upset that he had to keep going out to the perimeter and shoot, all of that kind of stuff. They make the trade for Tobias Harris, and with J.J. Redick, with Jimmy Butler there, it opened the floor up enough that they were the kind of team that they wanted to be and that Joel and Ben could maneuver down low. That's just not there right now. So I don't know if they're going to have to make another.
They have to play inside out. I'm sorry. They got to play inside out.
Up next, is it make or break for the Rockets right now after their turbulent offseason? Woj is going to join us to discuss what's at stake in Houston. Tip off your weekend with our first NBA Friday doubleheader of the season. The Mavs taking off the Pelicans. 8 p.m. Eastern, then the Jazz face the Lakers right across the street from us at Staples Center. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the app, so get there early for our crew in New York. All right, we now welcome in our NBA insider extraordinaire, Adrian Wojnarowski. Thank you for coming. The Rockets, let's talk about them, because they made their season debut tonight against the Bucks in Houston. We spoke yesterday about the pressure Milwaukee is under to reach the finals. But one could say there's even more pressure on the Rockets right now after trading CP3 for Westbrook and, well, the last month or so. So, Woj, who is under the most pressure within that organization?
Daryl Morey. And, listen, ownership looked at the idea of firing him after the tweet, and they decided not to do that. They owe him significant money for a few years going forward. But, you know, the owner and James Harden had a lot to do with the Chris Paul trade. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more to do than Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni did. But they gave up multiple first-round picks for Westbrook. And I think for Daryl Morey, this team needs to have great success. What that means, does that mean the conference final again? Does it mean the NBA finals? I don't know what the threshold is. But for him, the money that the organization has lost, the money that players and other teams are losing, there's not a lot of empathy around the league for Daryl Morey. He's on an island in a lot of ways. While the league supported him and, you know, allowed him to essentially stay in that job, it may be more difficult for him after this season, and it may be more difficult for him in the future, not just in Houston, but maybe somewhere else in the league. There's tremendous pressure under him.
And because of that, when you talk to people in the league, they wonder if the Rockets don't get off to a great start and aren't running hot, whether Daryl doubles down. And remember, before they made the Chris Paul deal, Clint Capella was on the market and available. Mm-hmm. And he's not right now and everything like that, but teams in the league are watching to see if the Rockets don't get off to a hot start, whether Capella comes back on the market. And that's one of the players they're definitely watching.
Tracy, you live in Houston. When you're around town and people are talking to you about the Rockets, is it more, hey, we're so excited, Westbrook and Harden together, or is it, man, this better work?
No, they think championship. Yeah, they're thinking championship. I mean, you get a guy like Russell Westbrook who's averaged a triple-double the last, what, 2 or 3 years, and you add him with James Harden who's coming off a phenomenal season. They expect these guys to figure it out and take this team to the promised land. I don't see it because I just don't know how it's going to work out with Russ being on the ball and James sitting waiting for a pass. I think James wants the ball, and James having the ball, creating his own shot, I don't see it working with Westbrook sitting in the corner waiting for a pass to knock down threes. That's just not his game, and he's never played with out the ball. Like, he needs the ball. So I don't see it work. To me, I'm sure GMs and coaches and players around the league are like, thank you for trading Chris Paul, because Chris Paul doesn't turn the ball over that much. He's a great mid-range shooter, great three-point shooter, and, you know, now you have a guy that is not a great outside shooter, and that's what D'Antoni wants these guys to do.
And this has been an elite defensive team the last couple of years. That's what allowed them to be able to compete with Golden State and really play them tougher in the West than anyone else had. They're not going to be as good of a defensive team with Russell Westbrook trading him for Chris Paul. And I think for Houston, that's a big part of the equation. And they lose some depth with Gerald Green being out, and they've tried to look at the trade market to see if there's another wing they can bring in. That's going to be difficult for them. But I think they'll score points. Every point Tracy made is exactly right about whether they complement each other. But defensively, they're going to be lessened.
Now, Mike D'Antoni came out and said, I'm just going to get out of the way. What do you expect tonight?
Well, listen, I told you, I expect James to average close to 40 points.
Yeah.
You know, that's just who he is, the system. This guy just seems like he's getting better every single year. I expect them to be exciting in the regular season. I'm not worried about the Rockets in the regular season, right? They're going to be phenomenal because D'Antoni coaching his system is tailor-made for winning games in the regular season. It's all about playoffs to me.
I want
to
see how Westbrook plays because last year his free throw shooting went way down, and both volume and percentage. That's a vital part of his game and the vital part of his efficiency. And the Rockets are all about efficiency. It's practically the name of the game in the organization. Does he go back to playing the efficient way that he played when he was MVP, when he was the most efficient player in the league? Can Mike D'Antoni do that? And tonight is the beginning of that process.
Well, look, Russ was able to adjust to Paul George last year in a way that a lot of people didn't expect. So I expect him to try to adjust to Harden and really want to make this work. Do we think we'll see the one-legged shot tonight, anyone from James Harden?
But you said it. That's James Harden wanted that trade. He wanted to play with Russell Westbrook. And that has given Mike D'Antoni his greatest belief that this will work was because the star players wanted it to work. And if James didn't want to play with Chris Paul anymore, even though we could all make the case James or Chris complimented him better, It wasn't going to work if James didn't want it to work, and so he's got the teammate that he wanted.
He couldn't have said anything better than that. It's true. If the guy doesn't believe in it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Although we did stick up there the money that these guys are making, and Woj, you mentioned the draft picks that were given up. Better work, right?
It's a lot. It's a 2-3 year window here, and they said we traded 34 years old for 30 years old. It gives us a longer window with James Harden. But if they don't win a championship here or get to the finals or whatever, they will look at as success. There's going to be a very difficult period of time. You know, the Clippers gave up a great deal, but they got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in their prime. Mm-hmm. They gave up two first-round picks, two pick swaps for Russell Westbrook, and there will be a price to pay later on when Daryl Morey's gone, Mike D'Antoni's gone, and probably James Harden and Russell Westbrook are all gone.
Mm. Absolutely. Woj, thank you so much for joining us this week out here in L.A. We will see you a lot more.
Get her some water.
I know, right? I'm sorry. After the break, you're going to hear Steph Curry's. I'm going to keep playing because that's the kind of gamer I am, Tracy McGrady. Steph Curry responded to Michael Jordan saying he's not a Hall of Famer yet. You can stick around for that. First, though, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Our Warriors insider Nick Friedell explaining why the Warriors have issues that even Steph's greatness cannot solve. Welcome back to The Jump. I want everyone to know in like a Willis Reed-like way, I've re-entered the segment.
Amazing.
And I'm feeling fine and all of that stuff. I thank
We're everyone all wiping for their tears at your courage.
Exactly. That's how it goes here. You may have heard a few days ago that Michael Jordan said that Steph Curry is not a Hall of Famer yet. Here's Curry's response to Sirius. This is what he said to SiriusXM NBA Radio. Take a listen.
Oh, man. I love MJ. That's my guy. He's obviously... He's the GOAT, but I don't know if it was a wordsmith thing or if he just kind of got in his own way, but I'm sure if you ask him that question now, like straight up, if you think I'm getting in there, he probably would have a different answer. If you put the .. yet, then I'm cool with that.
T-Mac, you like Curry taking the high road there?
I don't expect anything else from him, but to everybody, MJ said yet. Curry is still on the Warriors last time I checked. The man is 100% in. He's one of eight guys that has three championships and multiple MVPs. Come on, man. Let's stop with this.
That's really you can draw boxes to say, you know, certain guys fit certain criteria and make arguments. You can play games with that. There's no playing games with that.
No.
Look at this.
Okay? Come on, man.
It's kind of a non-issue.
Look at the names that are on this board. Come on.
There's just nothing. It's really not a conversation.
Right. Yeah. I think what draws so much attention is two things. First of all, Michael Jordan very rarely gives interviews, so shout out Craig Melvin of the Today Show for getting him to sit down. I did notice they had tequila during that interview because of MJ's new company and also promoting his work with some local hospitals in Charlotte. Tequila may have played a part in this. I'm just kidding. But I do think this. It was the way he said it that kind of caught people's attention. If he had just come up and say, well, Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer yet, but of course, as Steph almost said, he goes, I don't know if it was like in context or something. It wasn't. What happened was they were talking about something else.
And he brought it up.
And he brought it up and he goes, well, he's not a Hall of, Steph Curry's not a Hall of Famer yet. So I think that was part of why it caught everyone's attention. Yeah. It's Michael Jordan talking about Steph Curry. But as we talked about on the day, Michael Jordan is close with the Curry family.
That's his hometown
team. When Steph says, oh, that's my guy, right? Del Curry broadcast games for the team that Michael owns and, of course, starred there. And he's known Steph since he was very little.
I will say this. The next time they play golf together, which I'm sure they've done many times, Steph's going to work him over. He probably works him over already anyway. I'll bet it'll work him even more.
There you go. I want to get to the Chicago Bulls because this was my favorite story. Poor producer Danny had to hear me say over and over again. First, we'll talk about the game. They lost the road game to the Hornets last night despite 35 points and 17 boards from Larry Markkanen. So he at least had a good night. But I want to get to this report in The Athletic. This is something that Jim Boylan has instituted as part of their culture change. Darnell Mayberry reported this. So Coach Boylan installed a time clock at the practice facility where the players punch actual time cards when they come in to work out. Now, if you read the story, Darnell says, I love the face on Tracy is amazing. Please hold on his face while I explain the rest because I don't think his face is going to get better. That Coach Boylan used to work at a Cadillac factory when he was younger, at like an auto parts factory.
Stop the press.
And that he thought that this would sort of help instill that team culture. And the story says that the players have responded well enough to it. But what do you think, Tracy, as this wears over time?
This is whack, man. Listen, I mean, for me, knowing me, my personality, my first job was the NBA, the Toronto Raptors. My first job ever.
It's a good job.
Right. I didn't go to college for a reason, you know? I mean, I went straight to the NBA. There's no way I'm coming in making millions of dollars and you about to have me punch a clock to play basketball. No, hell no. I'm not doing that, especially if I'm a veteran player. Yeah, you might want to have these, keep tabs on these young players when they coming in. But if I'm a vet, man, get the hell out of here. I ain't punching no clock.
I mean, I will say this. You know, a lot of teams have different mechanisms. You know, there's the whole pound the rock sort of thing. You pound the rock like the Spurs do. Remember when Jim Boylan got the job, he tried to hold a practice after a back-to-back. And
old school.
There was almost a boycott of the practice. They ended up having to sort of negotiate
the Players Association got involved.
Right. This is, however, not only what Jim Boylan, who he is as a coach, this is what the ownership wants him to do. This is one of the reasons why they fired Fred Hoiberg and gave him the job and then gave him a contract extension because they want him to install a workmanlike, no-nonsense, we're-going-to-work-harder mentality. Now, Tracy's point, whether that maneuver actually is workable, is a different story. But this is who Jim Boylan is.
Right, and I don't have a problem with who he is, and I know why he was hired. But my issue with this is that I just don't think it has the fluidity or flexibility to serve him well in the future. And that was a problem, frankly, with some of his early stuff, is that things change in the NBA, and you have to react every day to how your players are. It's not just from the top of the mountaintop like it is in college sports. Mm-hmm. And by doing this, if there's a day when a guy comes in at a different time for a certain reason or over time, again, the story Darnell talked about.
I don't know if they're actually paying attention. Well, they have other ways of knowing when the players are.
Well, that's kind of my point is when you say, oh, well, it's accountability and letting them know when they're there. There's a lot of ways to sort of bark down privately when they're there. If you make it public, if you make it so concrete, you may get into some trouble down the road. And I want to say Darnell's story said that the players right now are like, oh, this is cool. This is part of our culture change. I wonder if a few months from now there will start to be some gymnastics. It will fall by the wayside, and then it's not effective at all if it doesn't feel like there's accountability.
This is such a culture thing because while you are rolling your eyes at it, and other players probably are too, there are probably high school coaches and college coaches and football coaches who are like,
not high school.
This is a great idea. Man, where do I get that? They're probably emailing the Bulls. Where did you get that machine? Where can I get a monogrammed one?
I think that's the point, though. It's not high school. It's not college. And that has been part of the adjustment.
This is a grown man league.
I'm making
millions of dollars.
We'll have to see. I did like the little detail in the story that when the clock came, it was a different color. So they had to paint it red to go. in the facility. Coming up, the Clippers are currently 1.5-point favorites on the road tonight as the Warriors officially open the Chase Center. How times have changed,
people. Wow, underdogs in the Warriors underdogs in their opening of their arena.
To the Clippers, the team they've tormented, right?
Oh, my gosh.
From time to time, I mean, over the years, amazing. Our next NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with the Bucks versus the Celtics at 7:30 Eastern. Then it's off to Salt Lake City for the Jazz hosting Kawhi and the Clippers. All right, it's crunch time on the jump. Spurs beating the Knicks last night. And after the game, Greg Popovich and Marcus Morris spoke briefly. This is significant because this summer, Morris backed out of a deal with the Spurs, a move that Pop called unprofessional. And guys, as recently as pregame of this game that they were talking afterward, someone asked Popovich, what do you mean by unprofessional? He said, look it up in a dictionary. And they said, do you mean Morris or the Knicks? And he said, who signed them? He goes, the Knicks. He goes, well, then you have your answer. So there was a lot of spiciness pregame. Postgame, though, niceness. Brian, what do you think?
Would you say it's nice? Does Pop look like he's in a great mood there?
I don't know. He's the one who sought out Morris, though.
I don't know what he said. I know that Pop was PO'd about the situation. He was mad at Marcus Morris. He was mad that they had to give up a player to get him. And he was mad at the Knicks.
We'll see where this story goes.
Knicks won that game. No way that conversation happens.
Well, that is true. PJ Washington set the NBA record for most threes in a debut. Hornets rookie was 7-for-11 from deep. Charlotte also set a franchise record with 23 three-pointers in their win over Chicago. T-Mac, PJ was the 12th pick in the draft.
From where? UK. Wildcats.
Do we think he went a little too low? What do we think?
Listen, I didn't expect him to shoot like this. I didn't know he had this. You know, I'm a Kentucky guy, and I didn't see this in college. So, you know, kudos to him. He worked on his shot. Let's see if he could keep it going.
It was a really nice win for the Hornets last night. They were down 10 with 5 minutes to go, came back and won. They're not going to have that many wins this year, I don't think. That was a good one.
Why should you have to say it was a nice night for them? You don't have to say
because
that.
Because I want to add more value to it.
Another surprise result last night. The Pistons beat the Pacers. Andre Drummond was a one-man wrecking crew. 32 points, 23 rebounds, 4 blocks. And this was all without Blake Griffin on the floor. So do we think this is a 2020 free agency contract year?
Contract year. Without Blake, and we don't really know how long Blake's going to be out, they've got to get big games from Drummond.
Contract year.
And the contract year.
So, Tracy, explain that, though, because...
this happens often in the NBA. I'm not accusing him of it, but, you know, you have guys, they perform well, up to their ability during the contract year so they can get paid. They come in the best shape. They're more focused than ever.
Don't you try hard all the time, though?
But he has had a number of 30-20.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard for me to even get that sentence out. I think
we're going to see a lot of that.
Our league pass game of the night was an easy decision to make because there's only one league pass game of the night. Trae Young makes his sophomore season debut against the Pistons. Tracy, we just talked about Detroit. How high is the ceiling for Ice Trae and the Hawks?
Oh, they won like 24 games last year. They probably won 25.
Man.
No,
in this studio
today. It's a young team.
How dare you devalue them?
I love Trae. I like watching Trae play. They're a young team. I like the kid from Virginia that they drafted. Mm-hmm. Cam Reddish. They're young, right? So we got to give them some time.
I think the Hawks are going to approach 500. Like, our computers at ESPN project them to finish 13th in the East. Vegas was taking their over-under in the low to mid-30s.
There's defensive concerns, right?
For sure. They are going to be a league pass team like almost every night you can watch them because of the way they play.
You just got to let them be, man. They're very young. Some talent that in
go in
three,
there and,
3 years.
Go in there and think you're going to win in Atlanta. I mean, obviously on the road they're young. They're going to take their lumps. But go in there to Atlanta and think you're going to have an easy game. You're not.
Trae Young, John Collins, your cousin John. Vince.
Yeah.
And I think Vince is, look, he's obviously not going to play, right, the extent maybe he even
Red
played
Velvet.
Last year.
It's a great nickname.
All jokes aside, I see them being at least 8 to 10 in improvements in the win column. Mm-hmm. They were 24. I see them about 34, 35.
Significant.
That's right where Vegas has them, so they must know what they're doing.
Well, last season's Western, so he knows what he's doing, too. Western Conference champs play their first game tonight. The Warriors open their season against Kawhi and the Clippers, who are 1.5-point favorites. I cannot repeat enough how weird this looks, not just because it's the Warriors after the last 5 years and the dominance. It's their first game opening their regular season new building, but because it's the Clippers, who is the particular team they have tortured over these last 5 years. What is the better bet tonight if you go along the betting line? So with the 1.5 points, Warriors or Clippers?
I want to know what the over-under for Steph is, because I'd take the over tonight, but I'd take the Clippers to win. The thing about it is, this new arena is spectacular, but they gave up some of their home court advantage by moving to it. We'll see what the energy like is in there tonight. When you would go in on opening night to Oracle, or any game really, you knew you were going to be in for it. The Chase Center is designed differently. The seats are set up differently. I just don't know if they're going to have that same bonus that they
used to get. Listen, I can't wait to watch this game.
Yeah.
You got Pat Beverly coming in there. You don't have no Klay Thompson. You don't have no Kevin Durant. I am looking.
Sounds like he's saying lay the points.
Yes.
Steph and Pat are about to put us, they're about to give us some entertainment tonight. Please believe it.
I do think, it's funny, you talk about the new arena. You've walked through there, right?
Yeah.
The acoustics in the arena are really good, and the setup is good. So, you know, when you go to a basketball game, the stands are either like this or they're like on top of the court, and it really feels that way.
You know,
at Chase
is really
Center.
Good.
But the suites in the back are really nice,
they
and I think it's going to be very hard for people to come out on the floor when they've got such nice things in the suite. We'll see, and that's like a challenge.
I wouldn't
the way
come out.
New
I'll put it this way: I wouldn't come out.
All these suites have like a back room where they've got their own wine fridge with a wine selection that they'll keep for you.
They have their
all
own butler.
Season.
They have their own butler.
There you go.
They have 16 TVs.
Tracy
on the wall.
Has his own butler here at the Jump, so it's it's totally funny.
And Rachel has her own wine cellar. Actually,
I have my own water supply. That's what I needed today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thanks to Adrian Wojnarowski for being here. We will be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN.